Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction, along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Rick Perry. He is Vice President of Government and Industry Affairs for the Aircraft Electronics Association. Now, Rick, there are big changes coming to Part 145, and they will affect a lot of your members and people involved in aviation in general, but there's a misconception out there that these changes will only apply to airlines and big iron operators. Can you explain what the changes are and why everybody else should be concerned?
Hi, Russ. Yeah, that I was actually pretty comfortable with the outreach that myself and the other associations have been doing, and just in the last couple of weeks, I was talking to one of the shops who had been attending a working group meeting with one of the type clubs where they were discussing this, and everybody at the type club agreed that now this was a 121 issue, that it really wasn't to the general aviation 145. Nothing could be further from the truth. This has a direct effect on all 5,000 FAA-certified repair stations worldwide. This is a big rule, and we're coming into short final here. Comments are due on November 19th, so it's really important that anybody that owns or operates a repair station, as well as those that utilize the repair station, pay attention to this one, because this one will have a direct effect.
Okay, so what are some of the changes that that repair stations might face because of this change?
Well, the first thing they're going to see is that the certificate that they currently hold is going to expire in 24 months. Now, the FAA has said that they intend to have a 60-day implementation period, which is fairly normal for rulemaking, and then a transition period of 24 months. Now, what that means is that every repair station is going to have to amend and edit their repair station manual, quality control manual, and their training program, resubmit those to the FAA, and if the FAA has time to review them and accept them, and issue a new certificate within 24 months, you're good to go. If the FAA doesn't get around to servicing you, your business closes.
Really?
Yes.
So sooner the better for getting your stuff in, right?
Well, that's what's interesting is the FAA in the preamble to the proposal talks about, oh yeah, you know, we got a 24-month transition period, and then goes on to say, but we recommend everybody, you know, be prudent and submit this early because, well, we don't know how much resources we're going to have. Add to that the fact that we have well over a dozen district offices right now that have a queue for any new applications, and then we got sequestration coming on January 1st, which is going to have a direct effect on the agency and their ability to service the public. We don't know what that's going to look like. And what's unusual about this rulemaking, it doesn't give the public 24 months to submit the required paperwork. It has no date when the public has to act, but simply says in 24 months your certificate expires whether or not all of this other stuff happens.
Okay, so what do you want people to do?
Well, the big thing is to get engaged. You know, part of the rulemaking process is that the agency has to communicate with the public, and we've been doing that. We've been doing a lot of outreach and a lot of communications. The big thing is that, you know, first of all, if you happen to be a member of the Aircraft Electronics Association or ARSA or NATA or GAMA, certainly touch base with your association and get the information that they have. All of us have been working with our membership to provide the information and provide recommendations for how to comment. If you're not engaged in any of those things, you can come onto the AEA website, and we've got the tools available to help the public review the documents and submit comments on it. It's a fairly extensive process. You know, when we go through this and you know, we talk about the nuances here, you know, there's some real interesting things, because the FAA has not defined any of this stuff. They have this arbitrary wish list that goes across just about every element of 145, and there's no consideration at all about the unintended consequences to the small business. They're trying to make 145 look like an air carrier maintenance organization, and that's where the danger is. And so, contrary to, like I said, the type clubs that think this only applies to 121, they're trying to make general aviation look like 121.
Okay, the deadline for submitting comments is November 19th. By the time all the reading is done, that doesn't leave much time to go. So give us the website again, and let us know how people can get involved.
Well, if you go onto the AEA's website, aea.net, www.aea.net, there's actually a dedicated Part 145 page there that has all of the appropriate links to get people into the information. Part of that links are members only. However, about half of those links are not members only, and so the general public is more than welcome to log on to that, get the link to the Federal Register, get the link to the comparison and the analysis that we've done, and submit the comments. That's the critical part. This is going to have a huge impact on small businesses, and I really want to get the small businesses engaged on this one.
Well, thanks very much for your time today, Rick. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.